Welcome to the All Out NRL Fantasy Buy, Hold, Sell show, joined by Cord as usual and Mackenzie. First appearance, mate.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Thanks, Mick.
Always a pleasure. Yeah, look, this podcast, I guess it's been a busy week. It's a funeral week, as you saw on the last podcast.
Funeral was great on Tuesday. I had a great time with Bence.
Do you reckon this is the biggest like injury? It's got to be up there, biggest injury week.
I think it's the most interesting week of fantasy ever.
Yeah. I actually don't hate it because now everyone's team's going to be completely different. So
yeah. I love it.
Yeah,
especially good. With like captaincy as well.
Yeah,
it's the first time where people have to be unique.
And it'll separate the boys from the men. You have to nail your trades. Mm. Like you have to really nail the cheapies and the cash generation.
You got to do big dick plays.
Oh, yeah. I will touch on the captain soon, but I said on Tuesday, Terrell May will be my captain this week.
And yeah, just for the safe 50.
just for the safe 50, yeah.
I don't know if that's cowardly or that's a risk.
It is a risk.
It is a risk.
It is a risk. And it's also cowardly because there's a Thursday night curse thing. But
yeah. Captaining forwards is always a bit risky because of HIAs and injuries as well. You remember that.
Yeah, true. But I mean, anyone's
true.
Yeah, it's true. But forwards more likely.
I was just going to speak on Bentley's beautiful words last podcast. They almost seemed too good. Almost AI generated.
Look, when
ChatGPT.
No, he texted me. He said, "Mate, I've just written out this poem. It's taken me a good 2 hours." And I said, "That's okay, man. Like, I'm sure it's good." And then he came on and delivered it perfectly. No ChatGPT involved. So.
Well, apologies go out to Bentley. Yeah. I hope he's listening. Yeah. And, didn't mean that.
Impressive.
Look, boys, we'll just go through some buys first up. There's plenty. There's also plenty of sells. So, first one, he's just returned. He's from the Titans. Jaden Campbell. What are our thoughts with him?
I think he's a wait-and-see, mate, personally. I think there's just too many buys that we'll get to this week that you sort of have to get in. And coming off, what injury did he have? ACL or something like that? I can't even remember. Ankle problem.
I'm not entirely sure, but obviously out for, what, 3 rounds, was it?
Yeah. And regardless, the Titans have been absolutely dog shit this year to start the year. So I'm just going to wait and see with him. And maybe we got heaps of cash in the bank.
Yeah,
so
that's what I was about to say. The Titans are just an absolute shit show. And Tino's just been injured. So their meter gauge and go forward is going to be pretty bad. So
yeah, my opinions on him, I know a lot of people are struggling to field three winger fullbacks this year, and if you simply can't find money to get like a Teddy or a Tommy Turbo, then I guess he is the next best option. Speaking of Cleary, really changes things up him being out. Is this one where you hold, or are you just replacing him straight away for guns?
I think you need to replace him. It's too much money to keep there. He's too high scoring of a player. Like, you want to make up those points somewhere so I can sell him.
Yeah, I tend to agree. My only anti-opinion against that, the opposite opinion to that, is that when he eventually comes back, he's going to be in like 10% of teams and he's just going to be a pod and like he's going to get you overall rank. So I can sort of understand if you want to risk it and hold him as well. Like that's my thought process. But I mean, you're gonna be falling behind the ranks now.
We were speaking about big dick players before. That's probably the biggest dick player that you're keeping him. But it's tough.
It is. Look, we did mention in the preseason, not to put a curse on him, but we did say, you know, he's got a miso now. We can't predict. You can't predict injuries. But yeah, geez,
you really can't. But you actually can. You can predict injuries.
You can.
Look, yeah, I agree. If you like the all-out team that's chasing a few ranks now, we're still 300 points behind the pack, so we're not actually that far away. But if you're chasing points like everyone else is, you're probably rightfully selling. But if you're playing over head-to-head, you'd probably be inclined to keep him. That'd be my opinion. So
you got a factor that he's got a buy in there as well. So
yeah,
I can see him coming back straight after that buy. I doubt it's...
It's also against the Tigers, though. So, like, are they going to play them against the Tigers? Yeah. I mean, the Tigers had a great win on the weekend. If they can build up some momentum, you know, who knows? Yeah. But
also, worst case scenario is he has a setback or he's actually out the full 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, you're regretting not selling him.
Now, boys, we'll delve into specifically those halves that we're going to replace Cleary with. Jamal Fogarty, Sean Johnson, for me, D-bags. What are your thoughts on, first of all, Jamal Fogarty?
Yeah, I like Fogarty a lot. Just how consistent he is. What's he getting 50s most weeks? Dominates the ball, kick meters. Like it's pretty likable. But yeah. I also like D-backs too as a pod.
Look, preseason with Jamal Fogarty, we're very stats driven on this podcast, and the stats showed that he didn't perform very well without White. So
I was wrong.
We were wrong. And no, I don't blame us. We blame the stats.
Yeah, stats do lie sometimes.
But you really can't fault his performance at the moment. He's doing all the kicking. 800 kick meters in his first game in round one, and then 500 in the second, then round three just gone, 747 kick meters. So that's where he's getting a lot of his points. His base rate is unbelievable.
Yeah, his base is good, huh?
And he's getting try assists and he's kicking goals. Mm. So, look, we probably overlooked him in preseason and rightfully so, but he's proved us wrong. So he's definitely a buy. With SJ, I sort of also like him. He had an awful game in round two. I think he got like 20 demerit points or something like that.
Yeah, a lot of missed tackles this year.
So I think you can avoid that game and like chuck it out the window. He's still a buy. He's going to go down in cash. That's the only problem. So you could wait a couple of weeks. But I like the D-bags option is there as well for you, Mick.
Yep. DC as well. Like those, DC has been poor. Mm. They have high break evens like, yeah, Sean Johnson. But if you just have a hunch that they're going to return to form, it's not really one where you go, oh, look at their break even. You simply got to replace Cleary. So
yeah,
if you need to get someone in, then get him in.
Well, SJ's a gun. DC's a gun. The break evens don't matter as much for players who you think are going to be a gun. So yeah, back your gut and go for them if you want.
Now I'll talk about my D-bags. it was a Sunday night. I was just going through some stats. No, it was a Monday night, I think, when the Moses news came out. Going through some stats, D-bags, without Moses, average of 63. And I said, lucky. He's playing halfback. Two scores there. Really impressive. I think he'll get all the ball. And to be honest, with the Eels without Moses, I still think they're all right, just because their forward pack is so special.
Yeah, you're right. Their forward pack is very good. And they had a great win on the weekend. Just gritty. Gritty win, and I wouldn't say Moses had less of the ball, but in strike sort of positions, I thought D-bags had most of the ball. Mm. I might be wrong, but he's definitely a great option. I'll see how many teams he's in. 675Ks and 3%.
3%.
And I think all that's going to be getting him purely because we want a pod.
Yeah.
And it's ballsy, 100%. The Eels could suffer without Moses, but I think Brown did opposite.
Watching the Eels games, Brown's like so close to having a blinder. He's like barely just missing line breaks. Like it's coming really, really close to actually having that game where he explodes. Mm. So
yeah,
I do like him as well.
It's also giving you avenues to go that cheaper option to just get your Isaiah Yowes and that's guns as well. And with like everyone playing 16-15 flyers this week, you want those guns in for sure.
Yeah. Like his stats this year, his tackles are a bit down, but he is versing the Tigers. And do we really think the Tigers are back, boys?
It's
impressive. I won't deny it.
I think even if they're back, I still think that we will be point scored. Like, I still think the Eels will put on a fair few tries against them. So
the Sharks, like we were obviously watching along at the Valley Diehards Rugby League club on the weekend, watching that disaster. The Sharks played probably the worst 80 minutes, and I've gone through Reds 2016 type football.
Gone through some poor 80 minutes.
Jakey McIntyre.
I've gone through some Eddie Jones minutes with the Wallabies. That topped it. They were awful on the weekend. Yeah,
I didn't actually watch that game, but just I was in a group chat with the boys, and there were some obscenities being thrown around. So it couldn't have been that special.
One sec, Mick. Just saying, with Hines in fantasy, he played absolutely dog shit and still got 50.
Mate, there's got to be ghosties there.
Yeah. So I'm like, don't worry, coaches. It's fine.
The score has had him as captain.
Yeah.
With the Sharks, usually they don't perform against top eight teams. So maybe that suggests that the Tigers are back.
Or it suggests that they're willed to perform against top eight teams and go all the way. Yeah. So we'll see.
much to contemplate.
Yeah, much to think about here.
Boys, we know that Haas was out last week. I'm sure some people might have still had him in their team and want to replace with a gun mid. Obviously, if you're selling Cleary as well, you got a few options in my opinion. Yao isn't ideal just because of that Penrith bye next week.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at Paddy Carrigan.
Yeah, Carrigan looks a stud. We were saying off podcast before about Supercoach how bad the forward sort of depth is this year. Mm. And we're sort of lacking it at the moment. We got Smithies, May, and Cotter. But Cotter still could be out. And we don't really trust Smithies with his ball playing ability at the moment. So I think Carrigan's a good option at 773K. They don't have a bye till like round 14 or something, right? So
yep, 13.
I think he's a good option.
Shout out to your guy, Tohu Harris, as well. I think he's a great option.
It's just pays to listen on this podcast, ladies and gents. 752K. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe he started at like 690, 680.
Yeah, around there.
4.1% of teams. It's never too late to get on Tohu. You know he's going to get. He's playing 80 minutes.
Oh, he always does the job.
I did recommend one Ellis Marnie to captain him this week. So
that is he's
a good option. Well.
We'll speak about captaincy a bit later. One guy as well, that's a bit of a pod, AFB. I think he might be my little pod to get in this week. 9.2% of teams, which is surprising.
It is a bit surprising for Adden. He's
got serious upside. He scores like a ton of tries. I swear it's every second game he's scoring.
Yeah, you're not wrong. He's
a good buy, I think.
You're paying what you're going to get. Like, he's 825K. He's going to get 60 points every week. I still just think you may as well go Tohu at 70K cheaper.
Yeah.
I mean, he got 81, 44, 54. So, his average is a bit inflated from the first round. Mm. And he's only playing 50 minutes by the looks of it. So, definitely more upside for Tohu there for sure.
Now, boys, there's a couple of cheapies to watch this week. Maybe buy. You got your Blaze Talagis. Is he somewhat, even your Finiaki, if you still haven't gotten him, are they people that you should be targeting straight away, or maybe you can hold off?
For Blaze, you can definitely wait and see how he goes at six. He looks a good player, though. He looks pretty talented.
He looks like he's got some pace.
He's got serious pace.
Well, I said on the podcast on Tuesday to Benz, the only cheapie that you should be getting in this week, purely because of the amount of like guns that you have to get with Cleary being out and so on, is Galvin.
Yeah, if you don't have Galvin,
Galvin has a negative 17 something break even. He's on, what is he, 333K. He's gained 110K already. He's going to get another 60K this week. If you don't have him, I'd be dropping everything to get him and that gun. So the other option that we had was to go Chan and Cleary to two guns.
I've had it with Chan.
Yeah, I've had it with Chan as well.
I've had it. I'm off him.
He may not get picked as well. So if you want to sell him, I think it might be the game.
I saw a rumor that Bloor had earned the spot, or that Bloor was now favored. So
yeah. So yeah, if you don't have Galvin, absolutely must have this week. And like, even go Cleary to Galvin, because that's what I've been doing.
We're big eye test people on this podcast, I'd say. And he passes.
Galvin
passes.
You know who passed the eye test a couple of years ago? Toby Sexton.
He must be blind, man.
And where's he?
Seraldo must be blind.
No, you know Galvin reminds me of Jack Whiten. Just like
pretty, he fucking, he's pretty cocky tall. As fuck. He demands the rock.
Pretty tall, like has a bit of dog in him, makes tackles, runs the ball.
Who? Galvin?
Yeah, well, he just reminds me of Jack Whiten.
He came straight in rookie and he was demanding.
If he can turn into a Jack Whiten, that's a real plus.
He's a hog and we love that in fantasy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Now, this week there's a few holds. Ideally, you don't want to be holding any red dots.
No.
But there's Pierre Cora. He's one that's really interesting. Out for a month.
Oh, a bit like Chan. I'm over him. Like, yeah, you know,
that's valid.
You know, he played center last week. Sure, maybe his points, maybe his points would drop off. Mate, take a run.
Yeah,
please come off. I get it. We're not NRL players. Just come and just take.
Nah, mate. He should have known. He's in a lot of fantasy teams.
Yeah,
he should have been more selfish.
Yeah.
I agree. I've sold Pickford this week.
If he's out for a month, and you have, you know, a lot of players that are playing for you already, I think Pickford is fine to sell.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be selling him if I wasn't selling Chan and Cleary. So yeah,
obviously, if you've got players like your Burbos, Strangers, everyone has them. These are just holds this week.
Yeah,
you've got to make up the numbers.
Yeah,
any green dot is a hold.
100%.
Look, my starting side this week is not a true reflection of who I would be starting. injuries.
If you're building a full team, then I don't know.
Well, there's people talking about trading out like Smithies and like guys like, it's like, Jesus, how good are your teams looking? Yeah, like, that's a luxury, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is an absolute luxury. You're paying high dollar for that trade.
Yeah.
One player I do regret getting last week, hopefully he goes better this week, is Joey Lussick. Ugh.
Yeah, you made me buy him as well, so.
Well, no. Joey Lussick, and let's preface this for all the viewers, because we did say Joey Lussick was a buy, and I stand by it. It, like, the game on the weekend was free-running rugby.
Yeah.
It was great for the viewer. Yeah. Terrible for the fantasy aspect.
Terrible for the base.
Yeah.
For a hooker, yeah.
Like, he only made 29 tackles. He's been in the middle of everything. He only missed two. So you can't really blame the demerits there. Yeah. It was just a flow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm expecting
free running game.
I'm expecting a best score this week.
Mate, it's because Manly are like, fucking hell, they've got Morgan Harper on the wing. Let's just spread it every
Let's switch the ball every fucking play.
One thing that's disappointing about that is Appy was just attainable within a reasonable price range with the Lussocks. That's annoying. I'll go through a couple more holds. Hosking, hold. Yeah, just anyone with a green dot really is a hold.
anyone who's playing, you got to keep them, boys.
Yeah. Well, you can't do anything else. Yeah. You just got to hold them.
And if most of the injuries, to be honest, they're also sells. One to watch, though, boys, is this is especially for late mail. Reuben Cotter, Cam Murray. If you're owning them, yeah, just make sure.
And also Bryce Cartwright. What's the go there? Not sure that how many people have him, but if you do,
mate, this podcast, I'm pretty sure he catches ribs. This podcast would go for 40 minutes.
just keep an eye on the late mail. Keep your phone on. There's going to be some changes
with
for sure.
My current situation in my personal team. I am currently playing 15 people, and if Murray and Cotter are out, I will then have 13.
I think I'm the same.
So we're in some strife.
I've got 14. It's not looking good, bruv.
That's what Ben said on the weekend. You just got to go, this is the week, just say, screw it. I'm captaining bloody
mate,
Galvin. And if he goes off, he goes off. He doesn't.
Similar to actual NRL, I think NRL fans should introduce an 18th man where you just get to plug in one person for a week.
That'd be sick, like a little flex option.
Well, 18th man, if you got like more than a few injuries.
Like, he has to be less than 300k.
Yeah, like
is this a clip?
Yeah.
You can pick someone up off of the waivers, like, oh crap, I'm going to pick up Kane Bradley and get a nice score of 10 or 15.
Or it's pay to win and you could pay $100 to get like one more trade for the week.
Mate, if it was pay to win, that'd be insane.
Right, I guess this is probably the most important segment of the podcast, captaincy options.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
We talked about it before. If I was a Carrigan owner, I think he'd be almost the safest this week.
Look, there's some smart plays and there's some risky players and there's some stupidity plays. My one of going May is a risky play. I wouldn't call it stupid because we know what he can do. But I'm just in that logic where just like I don't care this week and I'm just going May. Mm.
Yeah.
I'll just watch him on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Having my pub feed for the PJWT and I'm watching him eat. Yeah.
For those Tedesco owners, I know he's versus Penrith, as you said, Thursday, but he looks back. Like, and Penrith are missing Cleary.
I said it in the preseason pod, Teddy, great end of last year. The Roosters will be back. And he's reaping.
Yeah, if Teddy gets you a 50, you're happy. But it could be more than that. It could be 70, 80.
Yeah,
so I like him a lot.
That's one of my great regrets, passing on Teddy. But, you know, we live in New Land. So.
Brad Schneider's a plug-in player, but I don't think Penrith will be that special. I don't think they're going to win against Roosters.
Well, I was saying on Tuesday, Brad Schneider was a part of that championship number one all-out team.
Yeah.
He's actually a good player,
full credit.
Yeah, he's a good
player. I think he could be like a little... He's built like Burton.
He looks like a Burton type, yeah.
He could be a Flanagan type operator and he goes to the Dolphins in a couple of years and get a Dolphin spot.
He could be like a Cogger where he just like excellent this season. He just keeps going around the circuit.
Yeah.
What do we think about Latrell Mitchell, captain, boys? Do we think he bounces back?
I think he could bounce back, man, honestly.
The Rabbits sort of have to. Like, they're out of options. Like,
if the Rabbits go 0-4 with their team, seriously. Like, that is just disgusting.
Deanie Hawkins has come into an absolute train.
Yeah, sorry, bro.
Maybe Ilias wasn't the problem.
His career is getting ruined right now because of bloody the South's inability to win. Like, and he's getting scapegoated for it. So.
All right, boys. We need to actually talk about our captains here. For me personally, I'm torn between D-Bags, my buy, and Cam McInnes, who I think with the ton of Sharks middle forward injuries could play 60 to 70.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with D-Bags this week. Or you can go wrong with D-Bags. Sorry, McInnes. I don't think you can go wrong with McInnes. Rudolph, Finucane, Hunt, I think, is also out. So
it's the same logic as your Terrell May. Yeah, if you play 60, he'll get 60.
Give me a 50 or 60, yeah.
I guess the most obvious captain, I think, this week will still be Nicker.
Yeah, if you have him.
Yeah. Who are they playing?
Well, if he's going to 50, if he's going to 50, if he's somehow getting 50, like, it just seems like a no-brainer, really.
The captain will really make or break this week. Like, if our captain scores well, then shit, we're going to go up the rankings fast, even though we have only 16. But if our captain gets a 30, oh, God. Like, we got it on SJ at the moment. I don't know who did that trade, but...
The more I think about it, the more I like Teddy captaining. Teddy captain. For my personal team, I think I'm going to go Teddy.
Look, there's we could name like 20 options. You could name Kalen Ponga as a captain.
Yep.
Cam Murray, I guess. Isaiah Yao will be safe as well. I guess this is the most chaotic week, and I think this is the most invested I've been in fantasy in a long time.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what happened this week. Could be anything.
I just if we're wrapping up the podcast here, boys, I just want to bring back one of the great segments, which was the multi of the week. And I'm going to kick it off in round four this week. So we'll get someone new next week to get the multi of the week. But this week's multi of the week is South Sydney to bounce back at $1.50, mm-hmm. Manly to win at $1.33 against the Stinky Drags. Parramatta to get up on Monday against the Tigers at $1.50. That's got to be value, surely.
Yeah.
Sydney Roosters to win $1.60 on Thursday night. Latrell to score in a bounce back, $2.45 value. And the Finns to beat the Stinky Titans at $1.73. Wrap that up with a bet boost at $19.83. And I'll see you with the green ticks next week on Tuesday.
Gamble responsibly.
And I'll see you tomorrow.